Hello.
Hello.
My name is Crown. I am council staff, just here a little early.
Was guessing that by you got Crown there. So, and I've been seeing your name all over the place. So I was just like, first I had to say, oh yeah, that's the new guy.
The new guy, I first time going by my last name, so I'm getting used to it as y'all are getting used to seeing my name.
So you said y'all, you're from the South.
No, not at all. Well, Southern California, but yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know where I picked it up. My mom and my grandmother are from Kentucky, so maybe they said it around me.
Who knows? Who knows? No, I grew up in Missouri, so Southern Missouri. So I hear that, and I'm like, oh.
Must be family.
Yeah, we need more people because this HD is too crazy. When you start looking at yourself, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I agree.
What was your start day for work?
The 24th of October.
Oh, wow. So you are new.
No. Hey Matt, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
So I have to ask, your name
Yes.
just says Crown. Do you go by Crown? Not. Okay.
I do go by Crown, mostly because there's plenty of Davids to go around, and it just felt like the easiest thing to do.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, I won't get offended if you use my first name, but
I always get the Matthews, even though my signature line in my email says Matt. I get these responses that say, oh, hi, Matthew. And I always think, oh, okay. I'm not like I'm in trouble, like in second grade or something.
When I get Dave, I kind of get a little tense. Dave just doesn't sit right with me. No offense to Dave, but that would be a terrible time for him to come in just right when I said that. Just
Yes,
when I saw
exactly. But
I think I've always called him David. Think I've always referred to him as David.
I did too until I started going by Crown. So I think, I don't know if Kira could tell us. I don't know if he's always gone by Dave or what.
He goes by either. I asked him once if he had a preference, and he's like, no. I
Yeah, I asked him too, and he said no. He said, whichever one they pick, they always say the opposite, so it doesn't matter.
okay.
That's like with Charles and Chuck. It's like you tell someone your name is Charles, they immediately call you Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
We could call you Charlie.
No. No.
I'm glad you said Charlie. I almost said Chucky, and that doesn't sound as good either. Not Chucky.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
What's that painting behind you, Chuck? I always see it and I'm always so curious.
It's a woman from Sweden. I saw this movie. I'm trying to remember the lead in Trolls, or the one that sings all the time. I can't remember her name.
Anna
She
Kendrick?
was in another movie where it was like a mystery type movie, and they were going through very wealthy people's houses, and I was getting, this is the boyfriend's house that I'm at, and so that was empty. And so I screen caught the exact moment she went into this woman's house, and they had a painting almost exactly like that behind it. And I was like, wow, I love that. And so then I searched all over San Francisco, and I found this woman from Sweden that she does this type of painting. And so I got it. That's what I bought with the stimulus money. There we go.
Oh, wow. Well, it's very eye-catching, so I'd say it was worth it.
Yeah, I like it.
It's very pretty.
Oh, there's Mark.
Lots of natural light in here.
I know.
I know. I'm like, God, can we black it out a little? Hey, Mark.
Hello.
You look so like there's nothing colorful. I don't, you know, you're like usually
colorful. I thought that was going to be a compliment.
Oh, it is a compliment, but yeah, generally you're just very colorful. You know, you have
nothing but that gray.
Ah, I like it.
I mean, it's a faded blue shirt that I haven't worn in multiple years.
You can't hear you very well.
Shit. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Actually, I wasn't complaining.
Oh, wow. What
tough,
in the world?
Tough crowd today.
I'm so glad we're recording.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, hi, Nah. I didn't see you come in. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I didn't get the agenda for today. Who sent it out?
I did. It should be there.
Let me look.
You got it. It was on. Oh, crap. I closed it. You sent it on last Friday.
Thanks.
Let me know.
Let me know when we have quorum.
I actually don't see it from David. I got the membership emails, but not the council affairs.
Hmm.
Let
me look into that.
Yeah, I'll look right now to see if.
I don't think you are. I'm not seeing you on it.
No. Okay. All right. No, I'll make sure to put you on it for the next time. And I can send you the stuff.
No problem. I'll put my email in.
Unless you're Daffy Bugs 03.
That is Elaine. Oh. Elaine is Daffy Bugs and Wade is like Pooh Bear. That's what I remember when I'm looking for them.
Yeah, it looks like you were left off. I just double checked.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Some growing pains, just getting adjusted to the new role.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes. You're a little tinny.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my audio. I have no idea. This is a fairly new laptop. I mean, do I have to get some kind of a plug-in? Start this meeting, does anyone have any advice?
No, it's sounding better. It's just you'll get used to it.
It might be, because when I signed in, I had to make sure I allowed for computer audio. It gives me that option when I start the meeting. Because y'all were all talking, I couldn't hear it. But as soon as I selected computer audio, so maybe in your settings.
Again, I'm not complaining, Mark.
Again.
So sweet. Okay. Do we have quorum, Kira?
We do?
Yes, we do.
Okay, then we'll start with introductions. Go ahead, Matt.
Matt Geltmaker, council member.
Manuel.
Hi, everyone. Manuel, council member.
Ken. You're on mute.
Ken Pierce, council member.
Nah.
Nah Lee, council member.
Go ahead, Mark.
Mark Oldar, council staff.
Kira,
council staff.
And Mr. Crown.
And Crown, also council staff.
And I'm Chuck Adams, one of the co-chairs for this committee. I forget what's next. Ms. Bizarre. Oh, there we go. Take a quick look at the agenda. If anybody has any issues with it, they can say so now. All right, we'll accept it by consensus, and then we'll review the minutes for the last meeting. Yeah, go ahead and scroll it down so everybody can kind of read it quickly. Does anybody have any questions, corrections? If not, we'll accept that by consensus also. So then there's no public, so announcements. Is there any announcements? Go ahead, Mark.
Just as a reminder, I'm hoping that Kira and the Crown can also remind other folks in other committees I'm not in that December is your month off unless you would like to meet. So we'll just take the default being December is your month off unless someone, of course, would like to meet. And then you can certainly bring that to the group to see if they agree.
Can you tell when the happen party is real quick?
The happen party? No, I can't tell you because I delete the party invitation almost immediately.
Okay, cool. All right, then, what was next on the agenda?
Well, that does remind me, Chuck, we will eventually be coming back with our planning council holiday parties. I just don't think we're there yet.
I don't either. So,
yeah. It's also why I deleted the happen thing, because I'm not going to that.
Could you throw up the agenda real quick again, please, Kira?
Of course. I think I'm up next, actually. Yep.
All right, then go ahead with the COLA report.
Oh.
She deleted it, though. She'll be right back.
He was really not ready for that COLA update.
Yeah, there we go.
Ooh, sorry, everyone. That was a really dramatic exit.
Yeah, it was. It's like, I'm not ready. I'm gone.
I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. All right, so let me go ahead and share that. So this is just report back from the COLA that we did earlier this year. And that was done, our focus group was long-term survivors. And that was done in collaboration with a long-term survivors group that thanks to council member Derek Mapp, he was able to help us out. So I'll go over the service category ranking. And this is just feedback and a lot of anecdotes from participants of the focus group. So primary medical was the highest ranked and it was with a specific call out for integrated care. Participants noted a conflict between HIV-specific medical care and age-appropriate medical care. They also voiced concerns of a loss of experience from HIV medical providers and the knowledge base they potentially take with them. And some anecdotes include, as an older person with HIV, integrated care is important. Everyone over 65 is lumped together. I lost a physician like many of us did. Having to tell a doctor every time what ailments you have. What if I didn't have HIV? What about my health otherwise? Next was dental, which was the lowest ranked, and it was described as ineffective and hard to access. So one participant described having to pay for services mid-procedure. Others had concerns that unauthorized procedures were taking place. Both times I went to UOP, they almost wiped out my bank account. Horrifying to be walking to payment counter in between being on the chair. lack of acknowledgement of disease, need specific dental care, lack of oral health related to cardiovascular issues in Black community. And housing was also a topic of concern. Some anecdotes are SROs can suck, finding affordable housing is almost impossible, hard to get a housing subsidy, what's affordable isn't affordable for a lot of people. If you don't have kitchen and bathroom, you can't take your meds on time. If I didn't have a subsidy, I wouldn't qualify for housing. And then we can move on to the facilitated conversation. And this was just focused on the question, what does being a long-term survivor mean to you? So participants during this portion spoke of their perceptions of themselves, as well as how they might be perceived from an external perspective. They saw themselves as both leaders among the HIV plus community with knowledge and experience to share, and also as often overlooked in a marginalized group. They attempted to parse the differences between simply aging and aging with HIV. Some anecdotes include, people think because HIV has been addressed and there's a treatment available that it has gone away. It hasn't. It's become manageable, not solved. I don't feel so victimized. The stigma has shifted. When I was diagnosed in 1988, there was no such thing as long-term survivor. It was a death sentence. I'm beginning to realize I'm a font of knowledge packed into me all these years. I find more satisfaction being able to share their knowledge. It's nice to have commonality with people. When you're a long-term survivor, it's about quality of life. It's not like it's over. Is there differentiation between long-term survivors and someone aging with HIV? Being a senior, there's a feeling of becoming invisible. The gay community is really youth-oriented. We're going to bed by 10 p.m., not going out at 10 p.m. And somebody else said, I love being out late. Is it because I'm aging or is it because of HIV? If you're young today and sorrow convert, you have more energy than we did. I couldn't even go to work. We took harsher drugs over a longer period of time. It wasn't important for me to be focused on aging. And benefits were also a topic of concern and conversation. Life insurance, we don't get life insurance. I am disabled, I've been cut off twice. In 4 years, I'm gonna lose my long-term disability. Benefits management is a bitch. Managing it in fear of losing it is scary. Being able to qualify benefits, et cetera, it's really frustrating. Couldn't work full time even if I wanted to. And so those are just some of the anecdotes and some of our feedback during our focus group. Now, does anyone have any questions? Ken?
Yeah, Kira, can you tell me what the statistics are? How many people did you have and what kind of mix were they?
So we had, it was, I think in total 10 people. I don't have the exact data. Dave would have that. But we had, I think around 10 people in total. So it was a pretty small group. And it was, I think all of them except for one were males living with HIV. And then what was your second question?
Well, just more about that group. I mean, what kind of racial mixes did we have? What kind of age mixes did we have? Did we know those?
Yes. So we know that it was on the older end of the spectrum. It was people who had been living anywhere with HIV from 10 years and upwards of that.
But we don't know their age. I mean, some of the times living with HIV 10 years, you could still be in your 40s. So
we did collect that information that way, because we did both an interview portion where we kind of discussed these questions, and we also did like a hard book survey where we gathered their demographic information. But I can ask Dave about that, and we should be able to bring that back.
Well, this is all going to be presented to the full council, right?
Correct.
So just having that when that happens, I think would be good. Thank you.
Manuel?
Yeah, hey, and just also on that note, Ken, I've been positive for 11 years and I'm 37. So to your point, My follow-up was, what was the date that these questions were asked of these individuals? Because especially with housing, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm thoughtful the services provided now. We recently just implemented a new subsidy program that's really multiple tiered. And so we're really trying to do outreach. This is really helpful. But do we know when this was talked about?
So this was done earlier this year. I believe it was in May.
Okay. That explains a lot. Okay. Thanks.
Mark?
All right. Kira, I think this is going to be your first COLA presentation to the council, right? And this was your first COLA that you co-facilitated with Dave, correct?
Yeah, and Melina.
And Melina. So first of all, congratulations. I'm so glad that this is something that you started off with a pretty open community, right? One who's pretty well versed with the system and also their own needs. What we're going to do, and I'll work with you on this like one-on-one, is we're going to transform this into like a PowerPoint presentation. And so I think that, like, so we'll have as an opening slide things like the date of the COLA, as much of the demographics as possible. Then we'll have the number of people who were there. We'll have all of that. And we'll also probably just give Derek Mapp a shout out as being the person who helped make this happen. So we'll have that there. And then we'll have probably like the little synopsis intro on another slide. And then after that, like a slide of quotes. And then we'll do the same thing for the other topic areas. And then you and I will work on like just some conclusions that can be drawn. This was a real small sample size, so we can't be really making any in-depth recommendations or even really any nuanced conclusions, but certainly some conclusions around fears around benefits and challenges with UOP and dental services. Those are things that I think will need to stand out to the council in a punchy way, like on the last slide. So like I said, you and I, I'll come up with a time and we'll figure it out. This should be super easy. One question though, did they fill out an actual prioritization sheet of all of their, like, where they ranked all of the service categories?
Well, we have all those documents.
Great. So then we'll probably also have a slide that I mean, I like seeing that primary care was up there, number one, and that dental was, and I didn't like that, but, you know, it was good to see that information, right? The dental was lowest, but I'd almost like to see the spread. Again, the N is real low, 10, so we're not going to draw some real vast conclusions, but it's important in some ways for folks when they see this information, they can be able to sort of wrap their mind around, well, where did everything kind of land? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I think the only other feedback I have is that when you present this to the council, I like all those quotes, but I wouldn't necessarily, if I were you, I wouldn't even read all of them. I'd like pick a couple that you think are the most hard hitting per slide. We'll probably put like five or six per slide. So just pick like one or two. Otherwise, people will get lost in all those quotes and they'll maybe even miss a point. Anyway, good job, Kira, and to be continued. Looks like Ken put his hand up.
Yeah,
Kira, the other thing I vaguely remember because we went through it so quickly was one of the quotes was about, I'm losing my disability insurance in 4 years or something. Look at that is that they, since they've been on
10-year
frozen, that once they hit me,
I heard almost nothing from
Sorry.
You.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
So my question was, if we know a little bit more about the person who said they were worried about losing their disability insurance, what their age is, it might be an indication that this is where we have, we want to stress benefit counseling about them picking up insurance with Medicare. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Ken.
Sure.
Any other questions?
I have a question. Are all of the participants, are they all from San Francisco? It's usually yes. Residents of San Francisco. Okay.
All right, Mark's going to work with you, so I'm sure you'll have the PowerPoint ready. All right, well, thank you for doing that. And so next, what's next, Mark?
Next. I will try to share screen, and if I don't, I'm going to be looking to you, Kira, to share that work plan. I'm going to try, though.
Oh, we're going to move on to the work plan, okay.
Yep. Can you all see that?
No. Yes, we can.
Yay. Okay, it's working. So just say something out loud because I can't really see everyone if my audio starts dropping out again. Okay, so what we have here is 2023 partially filled out. At the top of each month are things that will definitely be happening during that month. At the bottom in italics are what happened the prior year in 2022 that you could consider adding to that month. It's up to you. It's not up to me. So I'll run through this and then we'll just start from the top. So in January, those little names by there, those will be updated. That's supposed to be who facilitates. So in January, I do my annual year in review presentation, very exciting. And then we'll have our co-chair elections. And then February, we have nothing. In March, we have our annual needs assessment vote. And then we have our annual HCAP annual report. In April, we're actually gonna be doing the needs assessment for trans communities has been delayed. Community engagement has decided along with council staff that we just don't have enough participants yet. There's been a lot of challenges, pandemic rationale again in full effect. And so David has asked that this be put off until April. So hopefully we can get more than like a handful of people. You know, we're used to, I don't know if you guys recall back in the day, pre-pandemic, we used to have upwards of like 70 people in our needs assessments. And so the trans communities really are such an integral part of the communities that we serve that it would just be really doing a disservice if we provide a needs assessment in the single digits. Anyway, so that's there in April. I'll come back to you, Ken. I'm going to do a quick little run through. In May, we have our annual talk from Happen on their budget advocacy efforts. In June, we have our annual report from John Ainsley on quality assurance and different continuing quality indicators. In July, we do our carry forward. In August, we have our quantitative report from Aries. I do my HRSA mandate reminder. And then we also update, as we do annually, Ryan White Card A eligibility and the severe need and special population definitions. September, I facilitate our summit, all the normal stuff there, EPI, Ryan White service summary sheets. Then we'll do, of course, our service category prioritization and the resource allocation. And then we often have had needs assessment there. Let's just keep it. Who knows? October, our county reports and votes. And then in November, there's currently nothing. So before we go and start populating all these different things, Ken, you have a question right off.
A couple more. The co-chair elections in January, as I recall, there's always the problem with assigning people to new committees and then the co-chair elections. Is that premature to do it in January?
That's you're thinking of something different there. I didn't put that in for January because we're still in a pretty special time. These are the council co-chair elections. And so these will be noticed at this month because they have to be noticed in advance if you're dealing with officers. And the officers are the four council co-chairs. And so we'll notice that in November and then we'll have the actual. And so people can nominate, like if they want to just like renominate the whole current slate, they can do that. They can put new people in. They can pick and choose, whatever. They can do all of that up until the vote that actually takes place in January. The committee co-chairs and the committee assignments, you know, we'll probably then just let it ride until February because we're not even considering outside of virtual for January. And so it just seems like we'll figure that out after we actually reconvene and after the determination has been made to continue virtual or to have some in-person meetings again. I don't think we should put the cart before the horse on those committees right now. People are comfortable where they're at. Sometimes they have chosen the committee because of a particular time of day and day of the week. So let's not mess with that. Does that answer your question, Ken?
It does. And remind me again, our three co-chairs, have any of them suggested they do not want to continue?
I did not make that suggestion. That would be horrible to hear. Absolutely not. What I said was that...
No, I said, I didn't say you did. I said, have any of them suggested they do not want to continue?
David Gonzalez perpetually suggests that he does not want to continue. However, he has been renominated each time and has accepted. So I would not let his grumblings discourage anyone from attempting to have him continue.
Thank you.
All right. And just as a reminder, maybe this is even more for Crown and Nana as the newer folks, the co-chairs have to make up certain attributes. So there has to be someone who identifies as a woman. There has to be someone who identifies as a person of color. There has to be someone who identifies as a person who is living with HIV in the mix. So like one person doesn't have to equal one attribute. We just have to have those attributes somewhere in our four co-chairs. Does that make sense to you, Crown, and to you, Nana? All righty. Ken, you have another question?
Yeah, I've noticed in reading the news and different things that both the city and lots of folks are looking at new attention to healthcare for the homeless population to include HIV. Can we look into putting that on there at some point further down the year?
Healthcare for the homeless is always a topic of interest, for sure. That should be considered. We have, in fact, under more topics, you'll see that is right over here. It's the last sort of box before this highlight, mobile medical care. That is specifically around the marginally housed population. I see Bill has his hand up, and you know we all have yet to even start this conversation yet. So I'll just take one more question here, Bill. But we should start this. Yes, Bill.
So Mark, I had some suggestions, so I'm happy to wait. I think you also have a comment from Manuel suggesting something.
Okay, thank you. Let me open up my Manuel. Did you have a suggestion? Because now is not the time for suggestions. Let me get in like on a month by month, and then we can start putting in. Sure. We can literally start populating. All right. So we have in January our year in review and our co-chair elections. We see here that last January we had small groups. That's something that that was a brainstorm from Thomas about like just getting people reactivated with each other. That's something you can certainly consider doing again or not. But that leaves one to two more presentations. So we have one to two there for January. We have a full two to three for February. One for March, one to two for April. So we have plenty. Let's hear some suggestions. Let's start with January.
Well, I would say get rid of the small group until we come back together. I think trying to do small group on Zoom, it just doesn't work.
Would people agree? I know I agree.
Agree.
Okay.
Agree.
All right. So, Bill, Manuel, any suggestions for what to put in? What do you think is an important topic to start the year off? Like, what is a major thing the council should be keeping its eye on?
Well, I mean, you all probably got my email I sent yesterday, but I'm actually doing HIV housing training in January to kind of set the start of the new year. And it's going to include medical providers, social service providers, payees, all that. But I wanted to just mention my comment is I'm happy to fill in whatever's blank at the end or whatever for housing. I didn't see much of housing presentation. Of course, we just went through the needs and it seems like the community would benefit from this. So, you know, I'm happy to speak whenever and, you know, however to help out with the calendar.
Okay. That's music to my ears. Housing is an ongoing perpetual topic for sure. So speaking to what you said, though, Manuel, about that training, do you think that training that you sent out would actually be something that would be suitable for the council to experience as well? The council does and has continued to receive training from time to time. It's actually part of what we're supposed to be doing. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of the HIV strategic housing plan. That's a 5-year plan, as I also mentioned. So I'm also happy to give an update on that, of like how we're accomplishing goals. But I would say, yeah, I mean, anyone who supports, it's really geared for anyone who supports or provides services to someone living with HIV/AIDS. It's not necessarily really useful for clients, because I think there would be a lot of questions and not a lot of understanding, but people in the field, and I list a bunch of them, and I think I sent it to everyone on this list and on the council. Oh, yeah. I just copied it. But yeah.
How long is the trip for? Because this could basically include.
It's going to be an hour and a half, and they're going to be done quarterly. So I'm going to facilitate them, every 4 months in 2023.
So would you be able to add an additional training that's actually during a council meeting?
Yeah, I can make it fit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Ken, did you put your hand back up, or is that still hanging from previously?
I put it back up, but I don't want to take Bill's place, but maybe.
Oh, sorry, Bill.
But maybe what I have addresses Bill. I do think as soon as we can, we need kind of an update on issues that that the HIV community would like some insight into, COVID, monkeypox, flu, those kinds of things, and how they relate to us. Anecdotally, I've just come off of COVID, rebound COVID, and now long-term symptoms related to that. And everything I read is all over the map on what might have an impact on that, what might not have an impact on that, which then kind of focuses on what kind of healthcare we should be stressing. So if that's something that the Department of Public Health can do early on, I for one would appreciate it.
I could definitely talk to Thomas about getting someone in CHEP to provide a sort of an overview of a kind of like a where we're at right now around COVID and any other kind of related issues. Bill and then Matt.
Sure. So Mark, I could make a number of suggestions and a small couple of corrections here. I don't necessarily have a commitment to an order, and I'm wondering just in terms of process, if it doesn't make sense to first to kind of get the range of presentations that are meaningful for people and then plug them in where it makes sense rather than so just a
why don't you just start, if you have some topics on the tip of your tongue, you can just let me know, take a look at under more topics, make sure you're not repeating what's there, and I'll just plug in as notes what you're suggesting.
Sure. And even before I do that, unfortunately, we lost Darpin to, I believe, another county. So you could take Darpin Sachdev off and leave Stephanie under the STD.
Got it.
Yeah, she went to the state.
State. There it is. So in terms of additional topics on EHE implementation, they've hired 3 new coordinators. So maybe you all want to hear what's going on with that.
Let me pause you there, Bill. We have that, looks like already on March potentially. Yeah.
That's end the epidemic. Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Overcoming or addressing health outcome disparities.
Okay. That seems like a pretty broad topic. What is that? Is that coming from a particular place?
Yeah, where are the health outcome disparities in terms of viral load suppression and what we're doing to address them? Does that still sound broad to you, Mark?
Nope.
Okay.
Would that be under the EPI report stuff in September?
EPI does some of it, Mark. They report out on what they are, but there isn't a report on what we're doing to address them.
Great. Go on.
So the STD update subsets of that could be recent new advances in technologies. I'm just going to block on the name of it. The kind of broad spectrum antibiotic they're using for STD prevention. It will come to me in a minute.
Doxy prep?
Yes, doxy prep. Thank you.
Oxy prep. Okay.
Doxy.
D-O-X-Y.
Doxy. Doxycycline. Oxycontin would be a whole other.
Yeah, no, we don't need oxy prep.
Yes, we need less of that. Yeah.
Am I spelling this right? Doxy as in D-O-X-I?
Why?
Prep, yeah. It's
two words, capital D-O-X-Y, and then. Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
That's for doxycycline, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had come back to me, Mark. I'm blanking on them now, but I'll think of some more and raise my hand.
Okay, Geltmaker, you're up.
So I'm just wondering if we could somehow engage our state partners, because Ares, they're supposedly working on an Ares replacement that's supposed to be rolled out by the end of 2023. So maybe, I don't know who's even included in any of the testing or kind of the development of this. So I've been very curious, because I had been part of Reggie way back at the very beginning in San Francisco, and then worked with Air. Yeah, Mark, you remember very well.
Yeah,
I'm just curious. We're not hearing much about this. So I'm wondering if there's some way we can engage our state partners at some point around what that means, what they're looking at, because I know that there's from the client perspective as well as the provider perspective as to how that's going to impact things. And just kind of what ways they're getting input, because I really have not heard much. Bill, I don't know if you've heard much.
Yes. In fact, the Ares folks just did a training in Flor and Maria, and then someone from San Francisco AIDS Foundation are actually part of that group that is making suggestions and will be doing the beta testing. So they actually did a training today and gave some information about what to expect. But I think they would either be the right people to perhaps present or connect with the right person in the state to present. But I think it's a great idea, though, for folks to hear about what's going on. So Matt, you're welcome to check in with them if you have curiosities. I'm sure they'd be happy to talk to you offline too, as another county if you want.
I was going to reach out to Carl Halfman just because he and I have known each other for many years. So just to
check. I think either way would be good. Yeah.
Okay. So any more suggestions before we start doing a month by month? We do have quite a number here. Not that we can't have more. But we have a high number here we're not going to be able to fit all of these in. Just want to put that out there. Okay.
Can I just ask a question? The mobile medical care, can you say more about what folks were thinking about that?
So this is, of course, I don't know why I'm saying of course. You all don't live inside of my head. But this is Deb Bourne's presentation that she was going to give us in 2019. That got put off by either the council or Deb Bourne or the pandemic. But it's still like she's clearly still in the middle of things, or at least there's other folks like Paul Harkin who are still in the middle of things. So with just the slightest bit of tweaking, mobile medical care could turn into HIV and the marginally housed population, or it could turn into leakage center. What's up? You know, it could just be whatever is going out that's in that topic area. Does that make sense, Bill?
Yes, you might want to shift it a little bit more to healthcare for the homeless,
yep.
For people experiencing homelessness.
I think
that will give you a broader swath of what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, then for January, we have COVID update. I'll reach out to Thomas about that. That could be a full meeting. My presentation is usually pretty fast. I'm pretty fast in general with my presentation. So we could possibly have one small one in there. Let's just leave January for now. Let's go into February. I loved Manuel's idea of like, let's just have some housing up in here. And I think there could be a couple of topic areas right there. So we can almost leave this to like me and Manuel to figure out around like what February could look like. And then one of the things that has been popular in the past has been meetings that have like a theme. So like one of our highest rated meetings like a year ago was like our trans themed meeting where we had multiple presenters, a panel, etc. And so I would love a housing themed
Okay, good. So Manuel's nodding his head. Do other folks agree with that? Because that's just a regular thing people ask about. Okay. So Manuel, expect to be talking to me a lot.
That sounds good.
Great. We'll figure this out. So let's just leave that as February. HCAP annual report is the only substantive thing here. I see your hand there, Ken. I'll come back to you in just a moment. Do we want, as Bill has suggested, to keep an end the epidemics update? I think that's pretty important. Yeah? Anyone against? Okay. End the epidemics. Delete that. Okay, so that is two reports. We could have one more. So like January, we could come back to that. April will hopefully have the needs assessment report, and we have one to two other ones. Ken, and then Bill.
So my questions are twofold. One is drug user health. With some of the changes that have been going on with like Baker Place and the residential programs for recovery, would that be covered under drug user health?
No, but it could. That's not what the intention of this originally was for this year. Drug user health was if you recall the presentation, it was like from the street outreach team. It was about overdose prevention, those kinds of things. What you're talking about, I think, is obviously just as important. Can you reframe that as far as like what would you call that kind of a presentation?
I don't know. I'm reluctant because I don't want to put my foot in my mouth over something politically insensitive, but I know that as I understand it, the Department of Public Health has rescinded its contract with PRC covering Baker Place, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, but, you know, we can't talk about agencies, so we certainly couldn't add.
Which is why I didn't want to put my foot in my mouth. So,
that's okay. We're at a committee level.
I would suggest maybe harm reduction best practices within that or resources, because then within the resources, you could explain agencies, programs, treatment program options in light of Baker Place's maybe closing.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
And then the other thing was, Mark, I'm wondering for HIV and aging, can we move that up? Can that be in February?
Can I pause you? Don't lose that. Don't lose that. Please, because I want to stick with this, because I want to make sure that when I refer back to this, that I know who I should be talking to. So when you're saying, so this is for you, Manuel, and for you, Ken, in trying to address Ken's issues under the term harm reduction practices, who would you all suggest that I actually go to get a presentation out of? What will that presentation be on if it's not specifically on, well, where are they getting their care if they're not getting it from these particular defunded agencies?
I mean, I would suggest San Francisco AIDS Foundation. And let me think about it, because I've definitely gotten some emails recently with specific people that I think are new in their positions. Okay. And so I can reach out to them. Sorry, I'm eating something really quick.
That's okay. I'm going to, Lily, you'll see in my notes, I'm saying talk to Manuel. SFAF, parentheses, talk to Manuel. All right. So
there's also Harm Reduction Treatment Center.
Okay, thank you.
And maybe Bill Bloom can give us the name of somebody based on who the new contracts are.
Okay.
And Chip has a contract with them, so that might, you know, they might be able to provide something. There's both the treatment center and the training institute. So I'm not sure which of the two it is, but I guess some of the comments that I was going to make was actually, I don't know if you all remember that Dr. Martin came in and presented on substance use services and kind of the state of them in the city and county, which was would be another way to kind of get at what Ken is asking about. What does it look like in terms of availability and breadth and depth? So you don't have that in for this year, but that would be another way to address what Ken was mentioning there.
Can you say that again? I'm not sure I really understood that.
Sure. So kind of the state of substance use treatment services in San Francisco, just kind of an overview of what exists, what's going on. And although you're right, she wouldn't be able to talk directly in answer to any question about a particular agency, she could kind of address concerns in a general way, like how does behavioral health services respond when an agency goes under? What do they do to keep patients safe or whatever? So if I would imagine you guys might have much more broad interest, but I think there's in the past been questioned what does substance use look like, how much of it is available. That's what, do you guys remember she presented on that probably about 7 months ago, maybe now? Yeah. Is this ringing a bell for folks?
Yeah, of course. All right, Ken, so you wanted to see something about long-term survivors. So
I think what I said was HIV and aging.
You said long-term survivors, but they are different. Yes, for sure. All right.
So Mark, are you going to put that in, the one that I just mentioned there, or did I miss you putting it in?
Oh, I thought you were folding that under the sort of broad category of harm reduction practices.
I think that would be a very different presentation, actually.
Okay. What would you like me to refer this as?
Well, if people want it. So it would just be substance use services in San Francisco.
So in some ways replacing that drug user.
Okay. It doesn't have to. You know, I think of drug user health as what do you work with people at any stage or not stage of where they're at in their recovery work? What can you do with someone that's actively using to support them, to reduce harms, to get them services? All the way to an abstinence-based, you know, treatment model and or an overdose prevention site where we're at with that. So kind of a little bit different versus I'm positive and have using substances in a way I'm not happy with it. I want help. What does that look like?
Okay. So I've removed that from there because we now have a full house with those. That's three presentations. That will be a longer meeting. There's linkage there, I see. All right, so going back to what Ken was talking about, we see here in May, we actually have the topic area, HIV and aging, that occurred last May. So unless folks disagree, we can literally just move that right into...
Well, that was my comment, Mark, I think, was making it HIV, aging, and long-term survivors and doing it earlier on, like in February or so.
February, we did just have that discussion where it would be good to have sort of a topic area devoted to one of the key topics that the council has continually talked about, which would be housing. And so to put that in there sort of takes away from that whole idea of like, this is going to be our housing meeting. Does that make sense? So rather than February, you might want to look around more, like if you want that sooner, like in March, for example, like, would you like to maybe trade out HIV and aging /
I would rather trade it out with COVID updates, actually, because I think some of the things I'm talking about would be addressed in HIV aging and long-term survivors, because implicitly COVID, monkeypox, and some of the things we're seeing is covered in there.
So my only concern is this, the idea for the start of the year is more about like what larger things are we going to be either updated on, reminded of, that are central to us, rather than like discrete populations. And so to have something on HIV aging and LTS in January is different to me like than a COVID update, right? Because the COVID update about where like that impacts all of our populations in a particular way and sort of goes with the whole year in review. Does that make sense about why that seems like it would be in some ways off to put that in January? That is a discrete population.
Sure. I guess I just feel like if we just focus on COVID updates, it's really not getting kind of to where the whole issue. We got monkeypox as well.
We could make that more. Should it be like sort of like a state of prevention update that could include COVID and monkeypox?
Here's where I'd love Bill to give us an answer on how to phrase it or label it.
So Ken, first, I think the first thing I would say, a couple of options. One is doing monthly updates. You know, on HIV health services, we're not experts, but I do try and give you kind of some updates on COVID there. I think if you're asking for kind of a more focused conversation that would include kind of contagious diseases or viral diseases update? Because that then you would include both Mpox and COVID, right? So, and then you could have the folks, and you could even broaden it to do other STIs as well.
Yes.
Which would be infectious rather than contagious. So you could make it contagious and infectious viral update. Is that what you were asking, Ken?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Rather than the, just the COVID. Yes, thank you.
All right.
Mark, if you're looking for a presenter on it, Stephanie Cohen is probably the right person, at least to start with, who you have under STDs.
Yeah. Okay. So let me write that down.
I also have something. I wonder, are other folks curious about having a presentation on CalAIM? Because I know that's launching in January. And I would be interested to see a presentation on which portions of CalAIM would affect the HIV community. I haven't had opportunities to go into trainings on CalAIM, so I would be curious to get more information.
That's an acronym, right? Remind me, Nah.
Yes, it is. Let me look it up. It is California Advancing and Innovating Medi-Cal. So it's the changes or expansions to Medi-Cal. And there's a lot of different initiatives under that, which I'm not familiar with at all.
So I wonder if I should be talking to our state rep about this, right? Same way I'd be talking about the reporting system. Maybe we can have a state month. Chris Kent would love that. Let's see. So let's put that in there, but that shouldn't wait for too long, right? So I'm wondering then if we can move HCAP. Sometimes Stephen has very specific windows, but we can always just try. We can move HCAP to May. And the epidemics, I mean, maybe we could start the year. That's a pretty broad thing, right? In the epidemics, just put that for now in January, and then maybe look at March as, we'll have the needs assessment vote, but how do folks feel if I throw in the two state-related things and really just try to come down on Chris to provide us lots of presentations on both what Na mentioned and also what Matt mentioned around the new client data reporting system. Do folks feel okay about that?
I think March may be too soon for the new client reporting system.
Oh, okay. How about May and we move HIV and aging?
I would still even go later than that. Their plan is to have it at the end of 2023. So
I thought she wanted a report about like what their plans are.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know how useful just hearing what their plans are will be.
Okay, never mind. But
not that it has to be a finalized thing. I guess I was just thinking maybe like come later in the year, a couple months before they start there, because their plan is to then start doing trainings at some point, but I don't know what their timeline is. I just went even to the website that was in the link, and there really is no new information that's been updated at all.
Okay.
But I would say definitely March is probably way too early.
Would you say that was too early for what you suggested, Na?
No, I think early is better because CalAIM is launching January, so.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'll put this in March then. I'll leave that in March. Bill, you have your hand up again?
Yeah, so a couple related to both, but related to what Na is mentioning, you know, they just extended the emergency declaration with COVID, which means that the emergency Medicaid has extended for 3 months. And so there's going to be a very big transition when that ends, which fortunately has been extended again. So another possibility to wrap up with CalAIM is just people transitioning from one system to another. That doesn't fit in as nicely with the state because it's obviously federal. I mean, part of it's administered at a state level. but that would be probably something that's timely and does affect folks with HIV. To what Matt was commenting on.
Let me pause you there. What would you call that presentation?
Changes in the benefits landscape.
Okay.
And then do CalAIM and then Declaration of Emergency Medicaid.
Okay, go on, Bill.
Just in terms of what Matt was suggesting, I agree. If you want a finished presentation, you could just also ask him on an every couple 3 months basis to provide an update on the current activities with transitioning, and then you know, ask him to do a more specific focus on what are going to be the reporting capabilities that could, because that's really what the Planning Council you all probably want to know about. So I mean, I think whether this field does this, that, or the third is probably, you know, how you enter the most recent whatever is that's probably more micro than you want, but you probably want to make sure that, you know, what is going to be kept and what's going to get better. And he could probably do that as part of a general report. And then maybe you should get another 6 or 8 months in something that's more of a dog and pony show about what the whole thing does.
Yeah, I can't help but think the more we hear about it, the more it kind of seeps in. What to expect and how we can use it in our assessments.
So I am confused at this point. It sounds like what you were talking about was quite different than what we were talking about just moments ago. Bill, you're going to have to
By way of a recap, you were saying, shouldn't we have him in sooner to tell us about the system? Matt responded by saying, you know, is it really going to be built out enough for it to be meaningful to us? So I agree with Matt, probably better to get that presentation a lot closer to actual rollout, maybe late summer, early fall. However, he does give you us a monthly report. So why not ask him to start including that in the report?
Yeah. Okay. So that's not a separate kind of, absolutely. Correct. That makes sense. Okay.
And I would ask him to focus a little. He could also just give you a brief on the data reporting capabilities, because I think that's what you guys want to hear about, because you that information feeds into all the information that we all three counties provide to you about service utilization and the demographics and viral suppression. So I would encourage him to focus on that rather than the challenge they have with this or that field.
Okay. I actually think we can still fit HCAP annual report in there. So I'll put that back. Because the other item is not a presentation, it's just a vote. Okay, so looks like January through March are done. April looks like it is done. May could maybe fit one more in. June can definitely, okay, so let's go with May. Let's look at our more topics, or if you have new ones that are coming to mind. So we have let's rename mobile medical care, HIV, and the marginally housed. So in some ways distinct from what February will be, in which Manuel and I will be talking about, because I could see us, like we've been hoping for a linkage center update forever. Understandable why we have not, because it's been certainly lots of shifts there, a lot of media attention, et cetera. But I think we're overdue one, right? And so I guess we could put that in June. Is that too far out? Not really. I don't think, because I would hate to bump anything else that we just talked about. Are people okay with that? HIV in the marginally housed, or maybe I should just put linkage center. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm not hearing.
So Mark, the linkage center doesn't actually exist anymore. If you're talking about the one that's, you know, right on Market Street, a little bit what we were talking about was HIV care and people experiencing homelessness or marginally housed. I would suggest actually be something like Maria X Martinez Resource Center or something, give that presentation. You'll have a combination of Barry and Deb who run that thing, and they don't do a lot of thinking, and part of what they do is mobile care.
Okay, so we're back more to mobile medical care, the original title.
Well, it's the whole range of services for people experiencing homelessness. They have a same day care. They have a mobile team. I think you want a broader swath would be my suggestion. And both Barry and she could speak to that if you wanted to keep the same speaker.
Okay, Ken, you just mentioned something that the Lincoln Center no longer exists. So clearly I've been out of the news cycle so far. So the major center, which like, so that just, Bill, can you further
explain? Sure. So, you know, they didn't kind of renew all the grants to provide those services. So they're looking at kind of transitioning those back to within the community rather than have that location right on Market Street Hub. And of course, that wasn't an HIV-specific set of services. Oh. It was for everybody. So that's why also, again, I'm saying maybe not so much focus on the Linkage Center, but people that are experiencing housing instability, give you guys a broader swath of things to look at in terms of the response.
Yeah.
So that I actually would suggest not focus on the Linkage Center, but focus broader.
So Kira, that's a note for you too. One of the focus group topics was to try to do a focus group in the Linkage Center, since it no longer will be officially existing or exists now. Clearly you'll have to go back to community engagement and find a new topic group. Okay. Moving on. Let's see. Actually, let me do a note around. That's the Deb Bourne and Barry, I'm sorry, you said Barry Zevin, right?
Yes, Dr. Barry Zevin.
Okay, just do that in there. He's great. How long has he been working with? I feel like he was here ever since I even started.
I'm guessing yes. 30 years.
I would say he was, when I was at the foundation in the mid-90s, he was around.
Yeah, I think he's 30 plus years, Mark.
Yeah.
And he's now the director of the Maria X Martinez.
Okay.
It's kind of what, as you talk, remember, you guys remember Tom O'Dell Urgent Care? It's that expanded and including the health outreach team. And you all indirectly support, we put EAG money and the HIV epidemic money into their services. So I think if you want a really good swath of focusing on that, either he or Deb, ask Deb to speak more broadly would be my suggestion.
Perfect. So for July, I'd like to make a suggestion. This is one that we've been knocked off now a couple of years in a row, which is like a general kind of prep update. Like I don't know if these speakers are even still relevant to this, but you know, we thought of Al Liu, thought of course Brad Hare and Dr. Scott. Like, is that something that's still of interest? It's been knocked off a couple of times. But we are also supposed to be, you know, a prevention and a care council, and it would certainly speak to that side. Are folks okay with putting that in July, or perhaps? Yeah, okay.
Mark, I'm sorry I'm talking a lot, but hopefully this is helpful. You know, what's new in the landscape for PrEP and rollout is long-acting PrEP. So you could make that a little bit broader, like PrEP and emerging prevention technologies. And then Al is the right person. Brad is certainly brilliant, but of course he is at Kaiser, and Hyman, of course, is in the safety net services. So I suggest a little more Hyman. Hyman also really does a lot of work on race equity in the rollout of PrEP and other HIV prevention services. So I think he'll offer a good and specific perspective that I think the Planning Council will be interested in.
So remind me, hold on, Matt. Bill, remember what you said after emerging. You said PrEP, there's something emerging. What was
emerging
that?
Emerging prevention technologies.
Oh, okay.
You could even put the doxy, PrEP there as well.
That was going to be my point. I think that we could include that all in.
Okay, will do. Did you have anything else to add on that one?
I think that's good for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Same with you, Matt. Okay. One second. Let me just make this all one. Bear with me. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. We still have a couple pretty important presentations that have been bumped from July. One of them could possibly go into May because, well, that may could be a longer meeting because HIV and aging is going to be a full-size presentation depending on, well, no matter who I actually reach out to. And happens, sometimes they talk for like 10 minutes, sometimes they get up to a half hour. But we could still try to fit one in May because we have here Hep C, microelimination, and also megatrends, and those are super important.
You know, Mark, the HCV and microelimination, we could double check, but we've come pretty damn close to eliminating it. So it might be a small, I double check to make sure there's still an interest and need in that one. There maybe may be, but I would double check that.
Okay. I'm going to put it down here under micro, under more topics, and then we'll just look into that. Okay.
Matt, is it the same in San Mateo? Have you guys pretty much tested and treated everyone? Is that
Hep C data is really horrible to track. And CalReady, the state now has made it a requirement under Title 17. So all even negative Hep C RNAs are reportable, which is a helpful piece in trying to identify active infections versus past infections. So the data is just really hard to get your hands around.
Okay.
Bear with me.
I mean, there have been increases. The state, I don't know how San Francisco played into this, but the state did provide extra funding around doing Hep C testing and outreach and everything. So now I don't know if Marin got, or if that is even, if that falls under you, but we only a little under 200,000 for Hep C stuff. So we're working with our correctional health partners and doing a lot of testing in the jails that was not happening.
Same. We received some funding as well, and we're also working with our jails and providing Hep C testing.
Okay, so that's going to be removed, but we still have our mega trends. Well, we don't have a Tracy Packer. Well, hey, I'm so out of it. Has there been a Tracy Packer replacement announced?
Well, there's an interim announced, Patricia.
Do you think Patricia would be up for doing like the prevention equivalent of what you do around care for megatrends? Or is it like too soon?
I think it'll be pretty soon. Maybe you could ask her, but she is the person that makes all of the contracts work there. And gets through all the services. She's kind of like, so she has had less of a public kind of use. A super smart person, but I think she's pretty top. I think we could think of other people who could do that.
Okay, so this might end up being a care megatrends, unless we could find a prevention person, but I think we still need one, but maybe we could just save this one for later in the year. How do folks feel about that one?
Tracy could report on her retirement.
Yeah, or you could reach out to, Stephanie Cohen or Dr. Susan Buchbinder. They could speak to that probably very well.
On the prevention side, Buchbinder could speak to that?
Buchbinder and Dr. Cohen, either of them.
I don't want to bother Dr. Cohen more than once per year, so let's just go with Susan.
So she's the director, the medical director of the STD clinic, so you have her located.
Oh, I'll probably just ask you to introduce us if I don't have her in my
Happy to do so.
Okay, so we put megatrends there to pair, fine pairing with the county's updates.
So Mark, I was actually thinking about one other one, which we haven't had in a very long time, and there's a lot of emerging stuff. If folks are interested in HIV services for folks that are incarcerated, because with ending the epidemic, the jail is kind of a key place for intervening for people that have fallen out of care, people needing to get into care. People whose substance use has led them to a place of chaos where the jail is a moment, strangely, of at least enough structure to kind of think through different ways of being. And you all do fun with part A, a jail-based program. So I'll throw that out there if folks are interested in hearing about it.
So like incarcerated and formerly incarcerated, are you talking about trying to have a presentation that is looking at both, or like the sort of following the train as they go through the whole process?
Yeah, just what are the needs and responses to folks that are incarcerated while they're incarcerated? What can we do and what do they need? And Dr. Asa Clemente would be a great person to do that. He's the medical director of HIVIS here.
Okay, so hold on a second. HIV incarceration. Okay, so what doctor?
Asa Clemente.
And who is
Clemenzi? I'm sorry, Clemenzi, ZI.
ZI. And who is that doctor with?
He's a medical director of HIVIS.
Oh, that's the new.
It's not new, but remember, it was a jail-based COE. It's got a new name.
So that's an acronym, is PIVIS.
HIVIS, yeah. HIVIS, HIV Integrated Services.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a great topic. Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Okay, we moved a lot of these out of here. I guess the HIV provider training, I'll talk to you, Manuel, about, I'll put that in February for now, but that might go somewhere else.
I'm very flexible. You know, wherever it's needed, I'm happy to adapt.
I think we should always have a getting to zero update to round out our year, because we would still like to get to zero. We're having one this month. Are folks okay with keeping that in next November? Usually like a 20-minute. Yeah, okay. Let's see where we're at. Okay.
Mark, can I ask another question? The severe need definition, I'm assuming you strategically decided not to place it in this calendar, but does it make sense to be thinking about that and the way the presentations might inform that decision?
Sorry, say that again.
The revisiting of the severe need definition.
That happens annually right before the summit.
Okay. So that would happen in August then?
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't change. That's one of our, sometimes we've done it a little bit earlier for scheduling reasons, but yeah, that's an annual update, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking it'd be good to think about what presentations might impact how the Planning Council thinks about severe needs. So that was why I was wondering where that was happening. But it sounds like it's happening in advance of all the presentations, or after all the presentations. So that's good.
So what you're saying is intriguing, Bill. What's underlying what you're saying? Like, what changes do you think might be afoot?
I wouldn't presume to speak, but right. I mean, one of the things that gets called out is special populations. Maybe after you all hear the presentation on incarcerated folks, you'll decide that that's the population to call out for focus.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm not pushing necessarily for that population, but I'm thinking some of these things, or the substance use presentation may also impact how you think about that definition or not.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm just trying to think about how these presentations build to the work the council does, and that seems like one area that you all do.
Okay, well, we have that in November. And so that means that, if for some reason there's a presentation, the presentation on incarcerated folks is of such profound impact that they want to change and update the special populations, that could be done at any point. You know, we have to do that annually, but that doesn't mean that the council can't simply revisit within the same year. So I want to just make sure all council members know that, you know, it's almost like reallocation as well. Like it doesn't have to be locked in on a particular of our mandate. So just so that everyone knows that, and so that you know that, Bill, as well. If you feel like there's some energy around that, then that's something that, you know, can certainly come to the table. Okay. So I am going to just put this state client data reporting system. I'm going to continue keeping it in more topics based on our conversation here, that we don't know when the best time will be. We have not had a food insecurity. I mean, this has been on more topics forever. I don't know. The last time we had a food insecurity presentation was like way so many years ago when we were meeting at the foundation. I don't know. I mean, Matt's old enough to remember that for sure.
I do remember.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised.
But it wasn't when I was at the foundation.
Oh, no. Okay, drug user help. You know, we don't really have something there. Let's just see if we have any more room. It's good to keep room open, too, in case of new topics. But let's just see. Okay, January done, February done, March done, April done, May. Could have another one, maybe. Okay. June. Hey, Don. Yes.
You might want, if you're going to talk with who, I'm already blanking who our state person is, but if you're going to be talking to them, like Bill mentioned, about them doing a little up, like a mini update each month about just where are they up on the data system, I'm wondering if even August, if he could have something, if they have something more concrete by August, because it goes kind of with the Aries reports and everything. But yeah, so it wouldn't fall completely out of line with that, because a lot of that falls under the Aries stuff and the data reporting. But
okay, I put it there in a
chat. Yeah, as a question. Yeah,
could be a nice little match, nice pairing. Okay, I'm so sorry. We're 15 minutes over. I don't know how I let the time get past this. Thank you all for your patience. This is a living document that I'll occasionally bring back to you all. And of course, Bill, you'll be my best friend and partner when it comes to like connecting me with folks here. And Manuel also will be my new best friend too. So thank you all. We've built 2023. Yay.
You may want to change January to 2022 year in review.
If you look at the bottom, you just have to like go out with like an attack language.
I was no attack. I just was paying attention to detail.
And Mark, if you want suggestions for the HIV and aging, either I can share it next month or we can talk offline for ideas. Or we can keep holding this meeting longer.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I think that's it. Back to you, Chuck.
The Monday of the 28th is the full meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay. Remind everybody of that.
So and then
go ahead.
Now I'll let you know I'm going to miss that meeting. I will be out that week. So I don't know if somebody, or do I, should I, because I don't know if I'll be around to get the email the week before, is what to say that I won't be there. So if there's a way that I can announce now that I'm going to miss that meeting.
Well, we have enough staff here. They can get it. All right. So the next meeting would be, what's the day in January?
A Tuesday.
I think it's Mark.
Whatever the third Tuesday is or the second Tuesday, I don't know.
Here, let me see real quick.
Oh, no. Of January?
Yeah, it'd be the 10th.
January 10th.
Yeah, January 10th. Duh. Yeah.
All right, so that'll be our next meeting, probably the same time. And so everybody have a great Christmas. I'll be saying that after Thanksgiving. God, everything's moved so fast. All right, so everybody have a great afternoon, and we'll that'll end the meeting then. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Oh, hi, colleague.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's been so quick.
Yeah, they're just out. Let's get out of here. I'm so tired of just listening to Mark just ramble on for half a fucking hour.
Are you recording still, Mark?
Oh, my gosh. You should. This is your fault. Can't you just press stop? Gosh, why are you trying to put me in this kind of a provocative situation, Kira? Kira, does that make sense as far as my suggestion?